Let's begin. So I thought in this slot, which we usually do on Mondays at 6, we do a various different series of halacha. Again, feel free to let me know if there's an area of halacha that you'd like to do. Last year, we won't do what we did last year, so that's generally at least a two-year cycle. So last year we did a lot of the Evan Ezer sugyas in terms of Nagia and Yichud and Kalisha and covering hair and a lot of other related topics. And I don't think we covered some of the Yeridea topics, which we did 2 years ago, which we'll get back to some of them now. In terms of Hilchas Kashrus, when we think of Kashrus and Yeridea, it's a huge area. Chelik Aleph of Yeridea is Basar V'Chalav, Taroves, but something that's very lamaisa is Chelik Beis of Yeridea. All of the Akum Halachos, which is Bishal Akum, Pas Akum, Chalav Akum, Yayin, wine of Akum, or that was touched. So all of those are very lamaisa, and they're not always focused on. So that's what we're going to do over the next couple of weeks, those areas of Halacha. Rabbi Forrest writes, Rabbi Forrest has both the English Kashrus Art School Sefer, and he had, before that he had the Hebrew one, Pesachei Halacha. He writes that, as we know, our tafkid in life is to be an Orla Goyim, to be a nation that is set aside, not in a way of, you know, we're better, but we're different, and we're meant to shine, and we're meant to be separate. And when we do not separate from the Umos HaOlam, then it hurts us and it hurts them. We're not fulfilling our task of being an Or LaGoyim, our potential, and they don't have an Or, a light that's shining out. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu put it into the Bria, Rabbi Forrest writes. Al-Kain Tav, you see in Osei, source number one. Al-Kain Tav HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'tchunas Umos HaOlam. He put it into the Bria that we're going to be separate. And the only question is, how are we going to be separate? Are we going to separate ourselves, or are they going to separate us for us? And that's why throughout history, the closer we've gotten to the Umos HaOlam, and the more we've assimilated ourselves, eventually, Rachman al-Itzlan, they separated us out. Because part of the nature of the Bria is that we have to be separate. To use the beautiful line of Rav Chaim Volozhin, if a Jew doesn't make Kiddush, a guy is going to make Havdalah. Right? So in any way, in, you know, it's going to happen. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes sure. And therefore, we have to try to separate ourselves. That is the ultimate goal. Again, not in a way of better, but in a question of different. Different and separate. Uvagoyim lo yischashav. And in that way, we could be in Or LaGoyim. Along these lines, Chazal made numerous laws to be able to foster separation. And to foster that, okay, we're part of a larger world around us, and there's concept called Darkei Shalom, and there's concept called Eva. There's many halachas that govern the interaction between Jew and non-Jew. But the Chazal didn't want the social interaction to be so deep. And socially, they targeted food, because that's what Jews do. That's what people do. But that's what we like to do also. Whenever there's any type of celebration, anything, it always involves food. Graduation, okay, let's go out to eat afterwards. There's always food involved. So Chazal knew, if we target the food, so then that will be a huge help in terms of keeping the separation. Rahman al-Islam, even after all the foods are targeted, we see the challenges and the difficulties. But they targeted food, and that's the topic of today, the first one. The first topic, and we'll talk about Bishul. That'll be today's discussion, which is so lamaisa. Very lamaisa. It comes up all the time, not as much in Eretz Yisrael here, but in Chutz La'aretz, where there are many more help in the house and babysitters maids. But even in Eretz Yisrael, if there's a restaurant, so the workers in the restaurant, there's a lot to talk about. So this starts with one word in Maseches Avodah Zarah. The Mishnah Avodah Zarah Daf Lamed Hey tells us, the following items of a non-Jew are asur, but they're not asur bahana'a. They're only asur to eat. They're asur ba'achila, not asur bahana'a. So number one, chalav, not our topic today. Milk, we'll get to. Pas, we'll get to. Etc. Shlakos, the word that's underlined. Shlakos. What are shlakos? Cooked foods. The Mishnah says that anything cooked by a non-Jew is asur to eat. That's what the Mishnah says. Why? Why? Fascinatingly, the Gemara doesn't say why. What's the problem? Pashtus, is it because that the guys have given me not kosher? You don't need the Mishnah of Avodah Zarah to tell me that. The Torah says you can't eat not kosher. You don't need the Rabbanah to tell you, oh, if the guy cooks something, you can't eat it. Obviously, if it's not kosher, it's not kosher. So the Rishonim discuss, and the Gemara thinks, I didn't give you the whole Gemara, but the Gemara thinks originally that maybe this is an Issa Daraisa, based on Psukim, in Dvarim, you have it there in source number 4. But the Gemara ends up by saying, no, it's a Din Darabanan. Midrabanan Masmachta Ba'almahu. It's a Din Dara, it's a Gzera Darabanan. Why? What's the Gzera for? What's the Gzera for? So 99% of the Rishonim, including Rashi, says this has nothing to do with kashrus. This gzera about cooked food is really nothing to do with kashrus. It's a gzera atu, intermarriage. Like we had in the introduction. Chasnus, right? That is what Rashi says on that Mishnah. On that Mishnah in Avodah Zarah, right? At the end of source number 3, I should have underlined it. Kol davar shebishlo ovdei kochavim v'afilu b'klitar. Even if everything's kosher, chas, I could watch the guy from start to finish. I give him the ingredients, he cooks the food for me, it's still going to be usher d'rabbanan to eat. Why? Because of intermarriage. If he cooks me food, so then we're getting to know each other, and we'll get to know each other again, and I'll invite me over, and I'll get to know his daughter, v'chulu, and it can lead to assimilation, and therefore there's an isser d'rabbanan of chasmus. There is a, and that's what the Rambam writes also here in the Pirush Mishnayos, right here on the Mishnah, rov eila hadvarim kagona pas v'hashlakos, shlakos, cooked foods, v'domein, amnam nasru kadesh nisrachik mehem, v'lonis ari v'imahem, so that we stay distant from them. Kadesh lo nimashech v'his arvanu imahem l'his pakrus b'masha aser. So we don't mix up, right, and that's chasnus. There is a Rashi on Daf Lamed Ches, there in Avodah Zarah, 2 daf later, which is a little difficult to understand. Rashi says, why is it Aser Drabanan? Source number 6. Shelo yehi yisro ragil at slo b'machal b'mishteh. So a Jew doesn't eat with him. V'ya'achilenu davar tameh. And he'll feed me something not kosher. Not kosher. You watched him from start to finish. What do you mean this gzera? He might feed you something not kosher. What is Rashi talking about? And Rashi himself said chasnus on daf lamed hey. So two pshatim in what Rashi means here, and then we'll get this very lamaisa. Number one, Rashi might mean that you're right. It's because right now you're not worried about not kosher this time. But what about if next week? What about the following week? What about the following week? If right now you let him cook for you, even though right now he's using all kosher ingredients, who knows what's going to be down the line? So maybe Rashi says there's also a not kosher element in this regard. If you look in one of the Masorah journals, which is a lot of the Rav Soloveitchik's Torah, Rabbi Ganak has an article there, and he suggested maybe there's, and we discussed this a little bit last year, those were my shir, maybe there's a difference sometimes in Gzeiras Derabanan between motivation and definition. Sometimes the motivation of a takana is A, but the definition is B. The motivation could be intermarriage. But because of that, the Rabbanan gave this the status of not kosher midi Rabbanan. And it's the chefza that it's not kosher. That's davar tameh. Again, that's not the pashtus of Rashi. I would think the first shot is the pashtus of Rashi. But that's an idea that's said here in source number 7. Avo babishal akum, kiva diish gam chshash, shemi achlenu davar tameh. Since maybe there's the chshash of Rashi. Put both shot them together. Because down the line it might lead to not kosher, the Rabbanan gave it the status of not kosher right now. The definition of the gzera was, it's not kosher. Motivation, you might come to marry their daughter. But the definition is not kosher. Chilaku b'chalos yisur v'dino. It's different than pas akum. Pas akum is just don't eat. Here, it's the chefza of al-chalos yisur. And it could be nafkaminis, as we'll get to a little bit later in terms of kalim. But in any case, this is the gzera of Bishal Akum. So the question is, so how does a non-Jew ever do anything regarding food of a Jew? How do you have Hispanics working in pizza shops, right, throughout America, in kosher pizza shops, right? How do you have any non-kosher help in the kitchen? How do you have any non-kosher help in the house warming things up, right? So what are the rules? So Bishal Akum is straightforward rules, then you have to apply all of the practicalities. There are three built-in heterim. Three built-in heterim for Bishul Akum. Any one of them stands on their own. If I have any one of these, then it's mutter. Any one. You don't need all three. Any one of them is going to be mutter. And they're all based on the Gemara. The Gemara mentions them, and the poskim afterwards. Number one, the Shulchan Aruch says, anything that is what's called ne'achal kamo shehu chai, anything that could be eaten raw, anything that you don't need the cooking for, that is not subject to Bishul Akum. That's huge. So if an Akum warms up water for me, let's say you want to go to a place to just get hot water. Let's say you have a soup and you want a hot chocolate. We'll get the coffee. I don't know. You go into to a condo or wherever you are. You just go ask for hot water. Then you can use it. So they warmed up the hot water for you. You know what? Mutter. You can drink water cold. You don't need the cooking. An apple. They make baked apple. Right? Anything that can be eaten raw is not included. What's the svara for this? The svara is because what's going to lead to the intermarriage and the closeness when they really do something for me that's chashim and significant? But if they did, I didn't need them to make this edible. I could have eaten this without them. So then the poskim say that's not called bishul for this halacha. It's called bishul for Shabbos, but that's called bishul. That's not called bishul akum, and therefore it is mutter. It is mutter. So there's no problem with water. There's still a big problem with chicken and with noodles and with all other things, eggs, that generally are not eaten raw. One second. So that is rule number one. The Aruch HaShulchan writes, source number 8, you go by Rov B'nai Adam, you know, or at least Rov people in the area that you're at. If there's somebody that eats something raw, but nobody else eats it raw, I don't know, a potato. So during the war, they ate potatoes raw because that was all they had. But most people nowadays don't eat raw potatoes. They'll eat a raw carrot. Red carrots go in salad all the time. Raw potatoes don't go in. Says the nafka mina. Carrots, l'chara, are not subject to bishul akum. The guy makes some type of carrot stew. They cook it, no problem. As long as I know all the ingredients are kosher. Because all the ingredients are kosher, there is no issue. But we do, the Aruch HaShulchan does say, the Rapashu Delinian Darashino Nechal Kamoshu Chai, Hochanacha Rov B'nei Adam. You go by Rov B'nei Adam, the Marov in Hochan Machose Kamoshu Chai. If most people don't eat it raw, Afsha Yachid Ochlo, even if it's individual does, become Akamasr. Gam Loso Yachal Achlo Mavushal. Even that one who eats it raw, still subject to the Isser. Vimarova Oakland Zekshuchai, and if most people eat it raw, even if I don't eat it raw, I can be makel. Because this is a food that's generally eaten raw. But he ends up by saying something that's very lamaisa. What if you have two different countries, two sides of the world? One eats it raw, one doesn't eat it raw. Then each country goes by its own minhagim. It could be Bishul Akum here, not Bishul Akum there. When I was growing up, there was no such thing as sushi, at least in the Eastern Hemisphere, right? In America and Europe, I don't know, 40 years ago, no, I don't know, I don't think I ever heard of the word sushi, right? Maybe they ate it in Japan and the countries around there, maybe they ate that then, but nowadays, everybody eats sushi, the raw fish kind. Right, it's the most common food. It could be in a Fleischig restaurant. It could be in a Milchig restaurant. Doesn't matter what restaurant you go to. You could get pizza shop. Every place has sushi. Right, but because it became so popular, the halacha didn't change, but the application of the halacha changed. Right, in the days of old, raw fish was subject to bishul akum. Bizman hazeh, many people eat raw fish. No bishul akum. No problem with having fish cooked by a guy. Again, as long as you know it's all kosher because of Bishul Akum. Okay, there were questions. Yeah.
What if you have a Tarovis in which Roy...
We'll get to Tarovis. Okay, yeah. You go by the Rove. We'll get to it, yeah.
If you do something, but Rove people do not, that doesn't...
Lakula and Lachumra. Lakula and Lachumra. You go by the Rove, Lakula and Lachumra. Yeah.
I think I was going
to
ask.
Right, we'll get to the mixtures, yeah.
What about... The kalim are throwing, if you're going, does it have cooking? Do the kalim, you
we'll get to the kalim. Machlokes, but yes. Yeah.
What about Ein Bishalach, Ein Bishalach or Bishalach?
Those rules of Bishalach or Bishal, all of those we'll get to. We'll see how they apply. Hilcha Shabbos is not exactly the same as Hilchas Bishalach. And like we just said, these three kulas do not apply to Hilcha Shabbos. Right? We don't say Nechal Moshu Chai, so it's not subject to Bishal on Shabbos. You could cook carrots on Shabbos. You can't. Yeah.
The sushi example. Isn't sushi something that is cooked because the rice is cooked?
So again, but what's the ikker part of the sushi?
I guess
it depends who you are. Say, but that's for Hilchas Brachas. But I think sushi, what changes in sushi? The inside. The inside is what changes. Right, so I assume the ikar is the what's inside. You get different flavors, different kinds of sushi. So therefore, that would be okay. Okay, number one. Number two. Number two, rule number two in Hilchah Bishal Akum, what's called Ola al Shulchan Malachim. Ola al Shulchan Malachim. Does it go on a king's table? Another way of saying that, is it a chashiv food? Is it a chashiv food? Would it be served at a state dinner or at a wedding? This is the hardest one to define. What's called chashiv? Nowadays, remember the days that used to be like big bar mitzvahs that you could go to during the week? Right? We daven for the day that, you know, we could go back to you know, having large smorgasbords, and I don't know, maybe it's good for our, you know, our goof to have less. But anyway, but you could go to a Sunday morning in Chutzla Aretz brunch. What food is not going to be there? What food is not Ola Shulchan Malachim? Nowadays, they'll serve anything and everything at dinners and bar mitzvahs. What, noodles? Noodles is not Ola Shulchan Malachim? You go to any wedding, they'll have noodles as one of the, you know, appetizers. So this is a hard one. And what does it mean? Again, the post can discuss all these questions. Does it mean something that is on the king's table at the fancy dinner? Or something that the king eats anytime. Like the president might have a beer and some potato chips when he's watching a game. It's the president. Right, so how do you define Ola al Shulchan Malachim? So it's, this is a tough one to rely on. What's considered a non-chashiv food? One thing that many poskim though say is canned food is okay. Because if a caterer wants to keep his job, he's not going to take food out of a can and serve it. Could taste it. So a number of poskim say canned food, because that's not Ola Shulchan Malachim. But again, this one is a hard one to define. We're not going to spend so much time on it. We're going to go to the third one. The third rule. The third rule is, and this one is very lamaisa, the guy has to do the entire process start to finish. The entire cooking. If a Jew takes part in the process, the cooking process, it doesn't mean that the Jew buys the food from the store and brings it home. That's not part of the cooking process. But if a Jew does part of the cooking process, there's no problem with Bishal Akum. Remember, each one of these works on their own. So what does it mean taking part in the cooking process? Says the Shulchan Aruch in source number 12. Kol shebishlo Yisrael ma'at bishulo. If a Jew does any of the cooking, bein betchila bein basof, whether at the beginning of the process or the beginning of the process, mutter. It's mutter. If a guy put food on the fire, the hafach yisrael b'basar, the hagis b'kadeir, and the Jew comes along and stirs it. Stirring is part of the cooking process. What does stirring do? It moves around the food. Makes this closer to the fire. Maybe it's further from the father, a fire. Or what happens? Oh, hagis yisrael b'gamar o'vikochavim. Hariz emutr. If a Jew does anything, if a Jew does any part of the cooking process, it is okay. And therefore, reheating by a goy is 100% mutter. Let's say there's leftovers from Shabbos in the fridge, and the babysitter is going to warm up some stuff for the children, for whatever, they're going to warm up things. In the 100% mutter. Because that was made by a Jew. This is reheating. But a Jew took part of the process the first time. So this is a crucial discussion. The question is, though, there are a lot of shilohs that come up in this regard. Let's say, again, comparing to Hilcha Shabbos, let's say a Jew cooks it to make it ma'achol ben drusoy, to make it edible. And then a goy does the rest. Is that good enough? Just make it edible? So we paskin yes. What about the opposite? What if a goy makes it edible? Is that too late? Like, how much is already considered cooked? For Shabbos, Machol Ben Drusoy, making it edible, that's done. You're chayiv daraisa. for making the Machon Ben Drusai. The Shulchan Aruch says, source 14, in Bishla Ov De Gochavim, Kemachol Ben Drusai, Vagamar Yisrael, if a guy made a Machol Ben Drusai, then a guy, Yisrael came along, Yesh Leser, the Shulchan Aruch says, that's too late. Unless it's Erev Shabbos, or Hefza Merubah, it's a big steak. Rama v'ish matirin b'chol inyan. Rama says no, mutter. I remember getting the shayla often, mostly in chutzlar, it's not so much here. I came home and I don't know why she did it. She put it in the oven, the chicken. I told her not to. What do I do? I'm like, how much is it cooked? Oh, she put it in 10 minutes ago. Great, turn off the oven, turn on the oven. Take it out, put it in. Do something. Even if it would be a third cooked or a half cooked, that's still okay for the Jew to do that. We paskin Ashkenazim. The problem is if it's fully cooked. That's a problem then. If it's fully cooked, that would be a problem. But we generally, Pascha, as long as it's not fully cooked, it would be okay. The next heter, though, within this, again, we're in the third heter, is a huge difference between Ashkenazim and Sephardim. What about just turning on the fire or making the fire bigger and not doing anything with the food? Is that good enough? Just turning on the fire. So the Ramah says that's good, and the Shulchan Aruch says not good. And that is a huge discussion, because in many, many pizza stores, restaurants that is geared for Ashkenazic clientele, the Mashgiach just goes and turns on the oven. The guy knows he can't turn on the oven. And that's all you need for Ashkenazim. As long as the Jew turns on the oven, as long as the Jew makes the fire bigger. If there's a, in the olden days, there was something called pilot lights, where you have like a flame that's there right when you buy the oven and it's there for the next 30 years. It never goes out. And every time you light a fire on top, you know, it pulls from that flame. But as long as a Jew lights the pilot light, you're good for the next 10 years because you're just taking, you're extending the flame. But nowadays when you have, now we have electric, right, burners, we don't really have that anymore. But again, this is a huge difference. The Shulchan Aruch says in 16, Ein Shigiras Hataner Mo'elas El Bapas Aval Besharim Is Bashlim Ein Shigiras Hataner V'lo Alagas Eish Malu Morid. Turning on the fire, making it bigger, doesn't help. El Anach Adavka. No, only putting on the food. Only the food. And the Ramah says, Yishcholkim Is Yerlo Adagas Eish Ochitu B'Gachala Mahani. No, you just stoke the flame, stoke the coals. You're good as long as a Jew did a part of the process. And that is what is done in many circle. So again, Svaradim have to be very careful in terms of the hashgacha, in terms of where they're eating, to know whether a Jew took part of the process or not. In yeshivas, in hotels, everywhere. Everywhere, it's important for a Svaradim to be aware of that. There is a heter, a little bit, that's based on an Avnei Nezer. And the Shaila came up as follows. In the huge factories in China, or wherever they are, imagine a shopping cart as big as a house that's full of tuna fish that they're going to cook. So you're going to cook that. So what do you usually do? You have the workers there push this humongous shopping cart into the oven. You close the door, and then you turn on the oven. So for Ashkenazim, that's fine. The Mashgiach over there just turns on the oven. Good. What is Sephardim going to do? What is Sephardim going to do now? They can't eat tuna? They can't any of these like huge things. You have to have the chassid, the Mashgiach, down pushing the shopping cart in because you can't touch the, putting on the fire is not good enough. So there is a heter of the Avnei Nezer, and then Rav Bakshi Doron, who was one of the Sephardic chief rabbis, said Sephardim can rely on it. Even though lighting a little fire doesn't help, but if the food is already on the place where the flame is going to be, and then you turn the flame on, that's okay. Because that's cooking. If the food is already in the pot and then the Jew turns the flame on, it's not there already. So right now, you put the tuna fish thing into the oven. The oven's not on now. Nothing happened yet. There's no cooking going on. So when you turn the flame on, that's the cooking. That's good enough, even for Sephardim. So that could be a heter. That could help out in certain cases. Timers, that's a good shiloh. What if a Jew sets a timer for it to go on later? I didn't give you any. So, but the if you look in these, the kashrus organizations online, they talk about it. Rabbi Mordechai Willig is a Mako. The Star K website, they were Machmir. But either way, these are the three rules. Any one of them could help. Again, if it could be in raw, if it's not a chash of food, or if a Jew takes part in the process. So now we're going to get to a number of important applications of these rules. Yeah.
Why can't we say that it's a suffix whether the person who turns it on, let's say the non-Jewish worker, not suffix whether their mom was Jewish. So suffix
if they, you don't know if they're, Rove of the world are goyim. So if you don't know if somebody's Jewish or not, you assume they're a guy. It's not a suffix. Yeah.
Is food preparation that isn't cooking enough to be part of the process? So
no.
They say like a Jew's cutting a
food preparation, not, no. Food cutting, the Jew cutting vegetables is not good enough. That's not part of the cooking process.
Even if you're Ashkenazim?
Even if the Ashkenazim, that's not good enough. It has to be part of the cooking process. Stirring, putting on the flame, something like that. Okay, related shaylot, related shaylos. Mixtures. Let's say you have a chicken and vegetable stew. And some of the vegetables there are nechol kamo shuchai. But the chicken is not. So what is the halacha? So we paskin that you go by the main ingredient. Go by the main ingredient. Source number 20. Irev davar hanechal kamoshu chai im davar she'eno nechal kamoshu chai. Ubishlam ovi kochavim. Depends on the ikker. In the ikker, we davar she'eshpo mishum bishlam ovi kochavim. Aser, the imlav muti. You go by the ikker ingredient. So therefore, this comes up very lamaisa. You go into a Starbucks. You go into a coffee place. I've never had coffee, so I can't talk about these things so well. But could a guy make a cup of coffee for you as long as you know the ingredients are kosher? Could they make you a hot chocolate? The answer is yes. Why? What's the anchor ingredient in all of these? Water. Water is nechal kamo shuchai. There's no problem with coffee or a soup, which the anchor ingredient is water. Because if the anchor ingredient, you go mixtures, you go by the anchor ingredient. The anchor ingredient in any drink is water, and therefore it is a mutter, powdered soup. As we said, sushi. Pashtus, the ikker ingredient is the what's inside. Good. Next. So again, babysitters, maids. This is the, as we said before, subject to Bishul Akam. There is, though, you should be aware, there are das yechidim in the Rishonim that we don't paskin like, but we'll paskin like them b'shas hatzchak. There are two major kulas that one might have said logically should have been in place that we don't hold of. And that is, I'll give you the Tosfos, yeah, turn the page, 23. Tosfos and Avodah Zarah quotes the Ravid. That's interesting. Tosfos quotes the Ravid. There are two places in Shas, but Tosfos quotes the Rambam. That's cool. Menachas Membeis, look it up, on the bottom. Membeis, Ramosha ben Maimon. But the Tosfos in Avodah Zarah quotes the Ravid, who says, Dedavka shlokot hazer chachamim shovi chachamim mevashlam bebeiso. Avakshu mevashlam bebeiso she Yisrael ein lachush. When are you worried about intermarriage? If you go to the guy's house and he cooks it there, or if you cooked it there and brought it over to your house. But if a guy is cooking it in your house, in your kitchen? Says the Ravid, there's no Bishul Akam there. You're not going to come to back. They're in your house. You're going to go, you're going to be invited to them? No. It's all in your environment.
Would that extend to a kosher restaurant?
One second. Or, right, he would say a Jewish restaurant too, right? Same thing. This is the sheet of the Ravid. We don't paskin like this. V'lo hodolo Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam says no. Kima shavik ha-chavim mevashel lo chilku klal chachamim. Lo plug. Lo plug, no distinctions. Even if it's in the house. A. And there's another day that we don't paskin like. What if it's an employee? Some Rishonim say, oh, my employee? When is there a question of chasnus? If there is a colleague, a friend, a neighbor. She works for me. I'm going to come to marry her daughter? It's a different level in society. So some Rishonim say, yeah, no worry. We're not Meika, we're Machmer. We're Machmer there too. Doesn't matter what non-Jew we're talking about. Doesn't matter what non-Jew we're talking about. Even if we have both of these heterim, we're not makel. Even if we have an employee in my house, right, the maid, the help in the house, we're not makel there either, even if you have both. But here, we would be makel according to the number of poskim, b'shas hatzchak. So for example, if there's an elderly person who has a helper, who works for them, who takes care of them, who cooks for them, so yesh makom lahakel, you put these two kulas together, who we don't usually paskin like, but b'shas hatzchak, you know, we would be makel in this case, in that type of case.
Which Rishon says that?
Which Rishon says the what? The Rishonim don't say double b'shas hatzchak. That's the later poskim.
The employee one.
The employee one. I don't remember. It's quoted in the Shulchan Aruch, quotes 2 days in Source 25. You have to look up. I don't remember. Look up in the Beis Yosef who says Yesh Matir B'Shvacha Shalano Veish Misha Oser. So we're but we're Machmir. But again, Rabbi Forrest talks about if you have both of these Yesh Lahatra Machla B'Di'Eved, so then you could be Matir the Machla, you could eat the food. And others say that even if L'chadchila, it could again, it's Makam L'Hakel. Good. A number of other discussions that come up. Microwaves. There's a big discussion in halacha whether microwaves is called cooking or not. Let's say for Yechel Shabbos. A microwave doesn't cook in the normal way of cooking. There's no fire. If you feel the inside of the microwave after it's on, it's not hot. Right? A microwave cooks the item from within itself. It is kind of strange. That's why you could like sometimes cook something in the microwave. You could take a bite and you could burn your mouth and the next bite will still be an ice cube. Right, it doesn't cook uniformly like an oven. In an oven, you'll never have that. Microwave is their own type of cooking. So, for many halachas, pashtus, microwaves on Shabbos, are derabbanan. There's no fire there. There's a fascinating tshuva of Moshe. I'll just mention. Moshe talks about microwaves, and he talks about because there's a Rashi in Shabbos that says, you know why only cooking in fire or cooking in the sun is mutter on Shabbos, not cooking in fire. It's not the derech. So some say, oh, maybe Rashi means if something becomes very common, then maybe it'll be Daraisa on Shabbos. So Rav Moshe Feinstein in the 1950s is talking about microwaves, and he's talking about his tshuva about the sun, and he says, this thing that just started, microwaves, he says, I think that everybody's going to have a microwave one day. He's a Navi. He says, it's so, I tell the story before we made Aliyah 14 years ago. There was a certain colleague that I was losing about, I don't know, talking about something else, and we were talking about appliances. You have to buy all new appliances. In Israel, you can't bring them, so we're leaving everything. You have to buy new ones. Like even our microwave, we can't bring. He's like, oh, microwave? I don't have a microwave. He's married with a bunch of kids. I'm like, you what? He says, yeah, we don't have a microwave. I'm like, how do you warm up noodles? How do you warm up noodles? You make them, you know, when you know you want to eat them, you take them out in the morning, they'll be room temperature by lunch, you may put it in a pot. I'm like, you don't have a microwave? Like, how do you live? Like, what do? Like, an oven? He's like, yeah, we use an oven. I said, I'm giving you my microwave. I said, I'm not taking it. I'm giving it to you. He's like, I don't need it. I'm like, I gave it to him. So, anyway. But, so, what about for Bishul Akum? Is that called cooking? That is a major machlokas aposkim. Whether Bishul Akum in microwaves. Right? Because the language of the Rama is, source 30, Delo asru el abishol shel esh. Fire. There's no fire by microwaves. So Rabbi Mordechai Willig, Rav Schechter, the Star K, all say that it's not called cooking, and therefore a microwave is 100% lechatchila mutter. So if a non-Jew wants to make me chicken in a microwave, mutter. You tell the help in the house, only the microwave. Again, you have to know everything's kosher. But that's a big kula. It's a big kula that many Rabbi Forrest is machmir. This was, those of you who are familiar with the, I'm only talking from years ago. Those familiar with the Long Island, Farakaway, Five Towns area. When I was at Ravina. So at the time, there used to be two VODs, one in Farakaway, one in the Five Towns. They wanted to combine. But when you combine VODs, you have to take a higher standard that everybody could agree to. So this is one of the machlokos. One of them held microwaves was not a problem. One of them held that it was a problem. So to make everybody happy, you have to assume it is a problem. So lamai nafkamina. Dunkin' Donuts eggs are made in a microwave. So do you let them, you know, make the fake eggs that they do, they put on the donut? Or does the Jew have to go and push the button? So after they combine, so the Jew had to go and push the button. Or, you know, whatever it was. You had to make sure that, because... But again, this is a major machlokas poskim. You should ask your local poskim. But again, there's many poskim that are makel. A couple of other issues that might come up. Steaming doesn't always come up that often. You asked before about kalim. So kalim is a machlokas rishonim. 2 days in the Shulchan Aruch. 2 days in the Shulchan Aruch about kalim. Meir BMF taught me we should be machmir. Because that's the only way people are going to take it seriously. If somebody comes to you and says, oh, they cooked my pot, then you say, okay, it's okay. Then they won't be so mocked about it. If you say, yeah, you have to go kashrut, he's like, oh my gosh. They'll make sure not to happen again. It won't happen again. It won't happen once. That mistake will only happen once. So the way you do it, with help in the house, you give them a pot. This is your pot. And in that way, again, this the nafkamina is, remember we said before, did they give it the status of machalas asuros derabanan or not? This is the nafkamina. If they gave it the status of treif derabanan, then the pot's treif. If it's just a gzeira to intermarriage, it's nothing about not kosher, that's the machlokas. But again, 2 days in the Shulchan Aruch, one should try to be machmir if possible. If there's a suffik, right, the last, the Shulchan Aruch in 36, suffik bishalakum lakula. Let's see, you're not sure if you got there enough in time when the Jew came and stirred it or, you know, turned the oven off and on. You're not sure if the Jew got there in time. So, yish makom lahakel. It's an issur d'rabbanan we're talking about. And therefore, if there's any type of suffik about it, you know, we would be makel. But again, this is a serious halacha. Comes up again in chutz la'aretz all the time. And again, one of caterers have to know what they can, what they're allowed to do with them, what they're not allowed to do with them. How do they use non-Jewish help properly? But again, this is the first of the halachas that we'll talk about. Bishul akum, cooked. This is nothing to do with baked items. That's pas. That'll be next time, or I'm not sure which order. Pas and challah and yayin, all of those that we'll talk about. Okay, we'll stop here.